All right, let's dive in. Sometimes it feels like the things that can really make or break you, like your career or your company, even your whole day, depend on how you handle those unexpected encounters with the media. You know what I mean? Those moments when a journalist seems to just appear out of thin air and suddenly you're in the spotlight.
And it's funny. There's so much focus on like crafting the perfect message, but as these media trainers, Katrina Adamski, Katrin Prufig, and Stefan Klager point out in their book, it's more about mastering the situation itself.
And these authors, by the way, they're not just any media trainers. They are top tier. I mean, the insights they share in chapters 45 through 47 are pure gold. And it doesn't matter if you're, a seasoned CEO or if you're just starting out, there's something in here for everyone. Plus, they use these really great real-world examples to kind of drive the points home. So we're going to unpack some of those for you today.
So one scenario that I think many of us can relate to is that feeling of chaos at a trade show. You're running around like crazy, juggling meetings, demos, maybe trying to grab a quick coffee, and then bam, out of nowhere, a journalist wants to interview you right there, right then.
Okay, so let's just say for a second, I'm that person. My heart's probably racing. I don't even know what to do. Like, do I run? Do I hide behind the booth? Seriously, what would be the worst thing to do in this situation?
Well, the book introduces us to this guy, Herr Miller, and he shows us exactly what not to do. He basically panics, agrees to the interview without thinking, and just ends up fumbling through the whole thing.
Oh, I can totally picture it. Stammering, sweating under those bright trade show lights. Not exactly the image you want representing your company.
So, how does Herr Miller redeem himself? What's the right move in that scenario? Well, the book then gives us a second look at Herr Miller, and this time, it's completely different. He gets approached again for this like impromptu interview, but this time he totally takes control. He calmly gets the journalist's name, their publication, and suggests a better time and place so he can, prepare a little bit. But most importantly, he asks about the topic of the interview so he doesn't get totally caught off guard.
That's such a simple change, but it's so powerful. He goes from being totally reactive to being proactive. And suddenly he's the one in charge. You know, it reminds me of that saying, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
Yes, and that's a big takeaway from chapter 47. In calmness lies strength. Even if you just take a few moments to like gather yourself and get ready, you're so much more likely to come across as confident and in control, even when something unexpected happens.
It makes sense.
What about those dreaded ambush interviews? Chapter 46, that's where things get really interesting, right?
Oh, yeah. Chapter 46 jumps right into it, and it starts with this really gripping story. Imagine you're this guy, Thomas M., leaving work, walking to your car in the parking lot, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a journalist pops up, camera rolling, microphone in your face, asking you about, let's say, your company's plans to relocate, and oh, yeah, all those potential job losses that come with it.
I know it sounds like something from a movie, but I'm sure it happens more than we think.
It does, unfortunately. And what's interesting is that the authors think these ambush interviews often happen because organizations haven't been upfront with the media, and then journalists, they're just trying to get the story, so they have to resort to these more, well, aggressive tactics. So it's almost like if you try to hide or avoid the press, they're going to come at you even harder. That's something everyone in communications should remember.
Totally. And now the chapter talks about this idea called the stress ladder. And it's helpful to kind of picture a ladder in your mind. Each rung represents another stress factor. So you've got the initial shock of the ambush, then you add the camera lights, then the journalist is right in your personal space. And to top it all off, they're hitting you with aggressive questions.
So even if you know the answer, the situation itself can throw you completely off. It's like stage fright, but with a microphone and, potentially your whole career on the line. So how do you get off that stress ladder?
This might sound weird, but the book says you should actually engage with the journalist. I know your instinct is to run away, but by talking to them, you start to take back some control.
Okay, I get that strategically, but how do you actually do that? You can't just start interviewing them, right?
That's where these clever little tactics come in. The book says to start by asking basic questions like, which publication are you with? Or what are you going to use this interview for?
Yeah, I was going to say, what good is it to just ask about the weather? But those questions are actually brilliant. It gives you a minute to collect yourself. And if they answer on camera, it makes the footage unusable, right?
Exactly. They have to edit those parts out if they want to use the interview. It's like a subtle way to throw them off and take back a little control. Plus, you're getting information. Is this for a local paper? National news? Online? That helps you figure out how to answer.
So, what are some other ways to kind of get your footing on that stress ladder?
Well, the book also says to try suggesting a different location for the interview. You could say something like, "I'm happy to answer your questions, but it's really noisy here in the parking lot. Could we maybe step inside for a few minutes?"
So you're not being rude, but you're guiding the situation in a direction that works better for you.
Exactly. It gives you a moment to calm down, and it can completely change how the interview looks. Imagine the difference between a rushed parking lot interview and one in a, nice, calm setting.
Yeah. It's about taking control of the story visually and also in the words you use. This is really good stuff. I'm already feeling better prepared just hearing about this.
That's the goal. These authors are all about giving people practical tools to handle these tricky situations, and we're just getting started. So I'm curious, as we're talking about all this, are you thinking back to times when you felt put on the spot, like moments where this information could have really helped?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of freaky, actually. Like, I'm replaying my whole career in my head and seeing all these moments where I could have handled things way differently.
And here's another tip. If you don't understand the question, just ask them to clarify it. That might reveal if they're trying to be manipulative, or it might give you a chance to rephrase it in a way that helps you control the conversation a little bit.
So it's not about being difficult, it's just about making sure you're both on the same page before you answer. It's another way to take back some control, right?
Right. And finally, the book talks about how important it is to end the interview on your terms. You've assessed the situation, you've answered their questions strategically, and now it's time to wrap things up.
Yeah, because I've seen those interviews where the person just keeps talking and talking, and they end up making things worse for themselves. Knowing when to stop is crucial.
They even give you some phrases you can use, like, "Thanks for your time, but I have to go to my next appointment. I think I've answered all your questions."
So you're not being rude, but you're also not letting them drag it out any longer.
Exactly. And by ending on your own terms, you reinforce that you're the one in control, which is what you've been working towards this whole time.